Those are rough words. For Micah, he cannot find a decent person in sight. He can't find anyone in his whole society who lives by values. He talks in the scripture about people hiding to hurt each other. They lie in wait to kill each other. The people in his society have become experts in evil, where they focus more and more on revenge, on conning someone else, on getting away with lies. He talks about them as being people not only who have become experts in evil with a larger community, but in personal relationships. He tells us that rich have misled and betrayed the people, that leaders are corrupt and cannot be trusted. Well, does history repeat itself? Does any of this sound familiar to you? It's amazing to me as I read the Old Testament and I read the words of the prophets and as they talk about the community of their day, sometimes how similar the words are. Edward Gibbon, who's written a book called The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, attributed the fall of the Roman Empire to five major things. The last thing he raised was the decay of religion, where faith is fading into mere form, losing touch with life, and becoming impotent to warn and guide the people. I started, you know me, I love to do statistics. I found an article that talked about a little survey. And the journal is the Ladies' Home Journal. I just love this. And the question was, in whom do you trust? Now, this was written several years ago, and you're going to tell by whom we trust. 40% of people trusted a news commentator by the name of Walter Cronkite. The Pope, who at that time was John Paul, got 26%. Billy Graham, who was a preacher, kind of a famous preacher, this is going to start to date, isn't it? Got 6% of the vote of being trustworthy. This is 1981. You want to guess how many people trusted God in 1981? 3%. In 1981. You know, we think sometimes what we're struggling with is very new. Well, 1981 was before my children were born. I wonder what percentage of us trust God now. What would our response today be if we were to give that kind of a survey? Micah struggled with an entire society who had covenanted with God in how they would live. And he couldn't find one. Not one. Who essentially trusted God. If we get more personal, if we get it out of society, if we get it into our personal lives, can we share with Micah? And I think we can because Micah, as he starts this lament, is a man with a broken heart. And many of us know what it's like to have a broken heart. We know about broken hearts if we have a husband or a wife, a spouse who's not been faithful. A colleague who has lied to us, stolen from us. A child who hasn't been honest. Perhaps it's wasted an entire college education in partying. We can feel betrayed, a broken heart, when we have a friend who's used us or hurt us. A loved one who's conned us and taken our hard-earned money. A person we have trusted who molests our child. We know about broken hearts. And if you think inside yourself, what are the things that have broken your heart out of the failings of the broken covenant that you have felt in the goodness of the people in your lives, you can get a feel for how Micah felt as he begins this lament. One of the things that strikes me about this particular scripture is what it does not say. I'm going to get to what I think it does say in terms of how it can help us. But one of the things this particular scripture does not say, does not give us ways that we can change those who have hurt us. Rather, this scripture gives a litany of situations, evil situations, that we need to keep away from. There are situations, there is damage in our world that is so destructive, we cannot change. That's hard. That's a hard thing to say. One of my nicknames is Polly, for Pollyanna, because I really want to believe anything can change. I want to believe that we can overcome any evil. What is portrayed for us today in this scripture is an evil that has a way of permeating even an entire family where we cannot trust each other. That was the situation of Micah. I hope we don't run into situations like that in our lives, but sometimes we do, and that's reality. And sometimes we have to keep away from that which is so destructive. The good news is what Micah continues to share. If you read the book of Micah, you will find Micah, as Isaiah, foreshadowing the coming of Christ. He talks about the coming good news. And in the 7th verse, he proclaims what to do when the world around us is a total mess and everything is coming apart. And this is what he says. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He tells us to wait upon God, to keep the covenant, that it is God, it is God, it is God, which is the one place we can look to for help, which is the one place we can look for intervention, the hope of a merciful God. There are three things that Micah says that sums up his reliance on God. The first thing he says is, I will look to the Lord. I got to tell you, it's hard. It has been hard in my personal life. At times when nothing seems like it's going to work, to step back. And to wait on God. This week, we have learned in my life of an 8-year course in a justice system that's been very flawed and very slow And after 8 years, two convictions, a different kind of justice is happening a week from Tuesday. How hard is it when that which we trust, those people we love, hurt us. How difficult is it when the society, the system around us to protect us is flawed? Who do we trust in? Micah tells us here, we trust in God. We look to the Lord. And when we look to the Lord, we do because it is God who renews our hope. Sometimes our systems fail. Sometimes people fail, but God does not fail. Campbell Morgan has written an amazing piece. And he talks about waiting on God. And he says, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep and see how it turns out in the morning. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Waiting for God is putting our trust and our listening to Him. Not to what inside I want to do, but it's putting it on God. Michael Bentley wrote that Micah turned his eyes away from the things around him and he looked to God. He knew that even though the family unit was disintegrating, even though his family unit had disintegrated, God remained as firm and as stable as he always had been. The second thing Micah tells us is that I will wait for the God of my salvation. Micah spoke of a trust in a God whom he knew would save him. Isaiah said the same kind of a thing. And Isaiah understood the power of a God who acts in our lives not just today, but tomorrow. It's where we get our strength. When we have no strength, it is from God. Isaiah wrote, "Have you not heard? Have you not known? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." When we are hurting, it is God who will center us and give us courage while we wait. The last thing Micah informs us of in his final strategy and what he bases his entire life on is, "My God will hear me. My God will hear me." You ever wake up in the middle of the night and you are scared to death, and you don't know what to do? You quite don't know who in your world to trust, and you call out to God? God will hear you. God will hear you. God will hear you. There's a wonderful story about a little boy and his family who years ago had a horrible fire in their home. The little boy made his way up to the roof, and the rest of the family somehow miraculously had gotten outside, and they realized this one child was perched up on the roof. And so the father says to the little boy, "Jump! Jump!" And the little boy is scared. And he's aware of the flames around him and the fire around him. And he's frozen. And the father keeps begging, "Jump, son, just jump." And finally the little boy says, "But Daddy, I can't see you." And the father says, "It's okay. I can see you. Just jump." That's what Micah is trying to say to us. When all we can see are flames, when all we can see are not even just the fire, but people who are setting the fires, when we don't know what to do, and we're afraid to jump, we're afraid to move any direction, we're frozen. God says, "Jump. I can see you, and that's all that matters. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And my God will hear me." Whatever your story is, it's different than mine. What I proclaim this day is your God, my God, will hear us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.